Well, you know, last week I got a little static because I didn't tell a joke. Do you know how hard it is to come up with a joke around Independence Day? Because we're doing an Independence Day theme today, even though it's 3 days past the 4th of July. So I'm going to give you what I was able to find. The first is about a Sunday in which the 4th of July fell on that Sunday, and a minister of the church decided it would be a good day to go downstairs and spend some time with the youth team. And so he went down there and he threw out a question to the children. He said, "Can you name all 50 states?" And so they began to name the states and they wrote them down on a chalkboard and they came up with about 40 of them. And the minister thought he would give them a little shot and he said, "You know, in my day I was able to name all of the states." And one kid said, "Yeah, but at that time there were only 13 of them." And I also have an Independence Day riddle for you. Do you know why there are no knock-knock jokes about Independence Day? Because freedom always rings. That'll teach you to ask for jokes. Give me liberty or give me death. This is a very, very famous quote in American history. And those words were given to us by Patrick Henry, who is heralded and celebrated as a great American patriot. But at the time that Patrick Henry said those words, he technically wasn't a patriot. At the time that he said those words, what he really was a traitor. And so we're going to take a little look at Patrick Henry today, not just from a political viewpoint, but see if there isn't a spiritual side to his words and actions and the actions of our nation during its infancy. Those words, "give me liberty or give me death," were part of a speech that Patrick Henry delivered to a convention of delegates in St. John's Church in Virginia way back in 1775. And it was not a speech that was well received by all of those delegates. Some of those delegates were appalled by Patrick Henry's words, and some of them were left to comment after the speech that they thought that the speech was insolent and traitorous. And technically, they were exactly right. Because at the time that he delivered the speech, the colonies were very definitely still under the rule of the British crown. And all of the colonists really were British subjects. And so when Patrick Henry gave that speech that was trying to inspire people to take up arms against the British government, a speech that was a political battle cry, it definitely was an act of treason. You know, it's really interesting. The things that we take for granted, our democracy, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom in general, it's just so interesting how those weren't even ideas or concepts that were spoken about to any extent late in the 18th century. And so, what happened with the American Revolution wasn't just a political upheaval. It was much more than that, because back in those days, the world was really still ruled by monarchs and dictators. And there were noblemen, and there were princes, and there were lords, and they had incredible control over the daily lives of people. And relative to Great Britain, they had already adopted their constitutional monarchy, but the king really had so much power of life and death over so many people. Our revolution wasn't just the upheaval of a government. Our revolution was not just about establishing a new nation on the earth. what the world witnessed in the American Revolution was the birth of an entirely new world order. They witnessed a whole new consciousness, a radical new awareness. Listen to these words from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These were not just political words to rally around. These were words that put together a very powerful, prayerful, spiritual affirmation. And just like Patrick Henry's call at the time that those words were written and issued, those words constituted an act of treason. Those words that we so cherish as Americans, those words that we take to heart and we hold so deeply, were an act of treason against the crown in England and against a whole world order that was vastly desperate for an overhaul. So while Patrick Henry technically was a traitor, politically, he really does deserve to be honored as a hero. Because those words that he spoke, give me liberty or give me death, should strike a chord in each and every one of us. Because don't you just love it when you see some underdog, some poor soul getting oppressed and bullied by somebody? When at long last, that poor soul rises up and strikes back. I call it a mentality of enough is enough. And without it, freedom and liberty do not stand a chance. If you read the Declaration of Independence, it basically is exactly that. It's a statement of enough is enough. It is not just a Declaration of Independence. It's a shout out to the world, yo, we ain't taking this anymore. At that same speech that Patrick Henry delivered, that famous line of give me liberty or give me death, he also asks a very profound question. He says, is life so dear and peace so sweet as to come at a price of chains and slavery? I suspect at one time or another, all of us have witnessed some form of oppression in our lives. When I was growing up, there was a kid in our block. His name was Rudy. Rudy was the neighborhood punching bag. He was routinely bullied by virtually everybody. Even kids 3 or 4 younger than Rudy would come along and take their pokes at him. And at least on a dozen occasions, I witnessed people flail away on him, and he just crouched to the ground and covered his head and his face as best he could to protect himself. Until one day, and God only knows why, Rudy threw a punch that landed right smack dab in the face of the person that was bullying him. From that day on, nobody ever messed with Rudy again. So what does all this have to do with the question of whether Patrick Henry was a patriot or a prophet? And more significantly, what does all this have to do with our own growth and our own spiritual paths? Well, much of what we've been talking about this morning is part of a process that is ongoing in the world. A people get suppressed. A people get bullied until they reach that point where enough is enough and they rise up and a new order is formed. And if you go to the scriptures, this is absolutely a recurring theme, particularly in the Hebrew scriptures. This is an ongoing cycle that the Israelites and the Jews go through. You know, sometimes they are people who are oppressed until God comes along and helps them out of the situation. And at other times, they are on top. They are the ruling body until eventually somebody comes along and bloodies their nose. And in this process, there is always a prophet. And the prophet is the person who, that when people are really near the bottom, when they are really hurting and suffering, the prophet is the person that reminds them that God is still very much active in their lives, and the day is at hand where again they will be free. And at the same time, the prophet is the person that when a people is on top, is advising them, is keeping watch, is saying, you're getting lazy, you're getting lax, you're forgetting about God. You are forgetting about what it is that got you here. That's what a prophet does. A prophet is always serving that reminder that it's all about God all of the time. And each and every one of us is called to occupy that role as a prophet. And then our way shower, Jesus, comes along. And with him, he brings an entirely new world order. And that the Jews at that time were so anxiously awaiting a Messiah, a political hero that would give a severe punch in the nose to the Roman Empire. But Jesus sets us the world straight. He says, no, that isn't what it's about. Really what it's about is an upheaval of your consciousness. Really what I am bringing to you is a whole new way of thinking. And Jesus suggests two weapons that we have at our disposal in order to accomplish that. Truth and love. Jesus didn't die for our sins. Jesus died because he was a traitor. He wasn't a traitor to the Roman Empire. He was a traitor to the religious order of his day. Remember the words that he spoke. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give to God the things that are God's. Jesus took on the hypocrisy that was holding a thumb and keeping the little people down. Jesus took on a Jewish hierarchy that had forgotten to put and to keep God in that equation. A hierarchy that had forgotten where they had come from. Jesus didn't take on the Romans. Jesus took on a religious system of that day that had sold out to the Romans in order to preserve their own precious little religious empire within the Roman Empire. In a very real way, the message that our forefathers delivered to England was very consistent with the message of Jesus. Because it was a message that said, hey, you're trampling on our rights. You are depriving us of our rights. Our rights that have been given to us by God. Listen to these other words from our Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Well, all of this is a lot of verbiage. And what I just read could be summed up by two notions. The first is, enough is enough. And the second is, who says so? God says so. We witness these things in history. We view political uprisings in the world. And of course, we are most familiar with our own American Revolution that took place over 240 years ago now. And I really think it's realistic for somebody to take a stand back, objective view of the situation and come away with the notion that, yeah, it made sense. You did what you had to do. It was really important for somebody to step up and give the bully a punch in the nose. In each and every one of us, the history, the principles, the ideas that we've been talking about today play out in real life. And sometimes there are things that are pretty visible to us. We see somebody that is getting beat up. We see somebody that is oppressed. We see somebody that is in an abusive relationship. And there's that part of us that wants to become a cheerleader and say, come on, put an end to this. Rebel, fight back. You don't have to put up with this situation. Of course, for the person who's in that situation, those words are easier said than done. Because for somebody who's trapped in that situation, it's going to require that mentality of enough is enough. And they're going to have to require it to such an extent that they will develop a resolve that was as strong or maybe even stronger than our forefathers had. And it's also going to require a realization and acceptance on those people who are abused that if they make a move here, there's going to be a battle that has to be fought. A battle that might continue for a long time before liberty and freedom could be realized and appreciated. And while it may not be so obvious, each and every one of us suffers from some sort of oppression. We all have our own baggage. So maybe we are shackled by mindsets that have been imposed upon us a long, long time ago. Or maybe we are chained to our addictions. Or maybe we're just afraid. But all of these things hold a common thread. All of these things are housed in a consciousness within us, either consciously or subconsciously. And I don't want to be guilty of metaphysical malpractice here. So I'm not saying that the oppression that you might be feeling was something that you brought on upon yourself. But what I am saying is that ultimately that decision of whether or not you're going to live with it or do something about it does lie with each and every one of you. In today's world, I'm sure there are all kinds of psychological paradigms to talk about and to categorize these things that I'm mentioning here in my talk today. But I think we could develop an appreciation, a measuring stick, just continuing along the political guidelines that I have outlined. And so I ask you the question, who is your king? Who is your master? Who is your Lord? Who or what is it that rules your life? And if the answer to these questions are, well, those are my fears and those are my addictions, or those are anything other than the one power, one source that we always talk about in unity, then you are not free. And so I think it's appropriate then to ask yourself the question, is it the time in the course of your human life to make a decision and do something about it? Is it the time in your life when you really have had enough? Is it the time in a life when it really is necessary for you to sever those bonds which are holding you back, those bonds which might be holding you down? Is it time that you've had enough? And if your answer to that question is no, then there's another question. If not now, when? Patrick Henry gave us those words, give me liberty or give me death. And I'm sure at the time that those words came out of his mouth, he didn't realize that maybe he was offering the world a spiritual affirmation. But in truth, that's what it is. Because life without liberty isn't living. And life without freedom, life without knowing and enjoying and lavishing in the love and abundance of God, isn't life at all. It's a form of death. And so here we are 3 days after we celebrated our independence as a nation. And so my call today is, isn't it time we celebrate our independence deep within each and every one of ourselves? And let's just utter a simple affirmation. Let freedom ring.